Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, hour number two. I am your host, Frank Whelan. I'm very, very excited to have you with us here today. It is, of course, Wednesday, September 17th, 2008, about 4 minutes past 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. The website for the network, www.themicroeffectlive.com. Incredible amounts of information there, not just how to empower yourselves by getting your voices out there, but also ways you can help us get ours out there. And you can listen, of course, on satellite. You can listen on the Internet. You can listen on AM and FM stations around the country. It's fantastic. And you can be a part of this. Also, access to the archives, all the shows that we've done. I know you've heard of our guest. His website, www.jmccanneyscience.com. Of course, the one and only Professor James McCanney is with us here today. Not only has he, of course, made sense of the nonsensical theoretical aspects of the universe out there by, you know, putting out his evidence for an electric universe. He has also, of course, decoded the calculation of prime numbers, something that has never been done in all of human history. Jim has also spent a lot of time addressing the weather and various things like that. What affects it? What possibility, what implications do scalar weaponry have on weather and planetary changes? This is very, very powerful. The guy is truly a genius, and we are truly honored to have him with us here today. Ladies and gentlemen, Professor James McCanney. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi, Frank. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. It's a great honor to have you here with us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Hurricane Ike. Now, still, you know, feeling the effects in various places, and I think a lot of people were shocked by the magnitude of the storm. It was only a Category 2, but it was, I believe, over 600 miles wide and ran across the country on par of about 1,600 miles, causing a lot of damage. Were you affected by that specifically?
I was on the very northern end of the what you might call the residual of the band clouds as it came up north. The bulk, actually the eye, which almost remained, there was a leading and a trailing edge. So you could actually see the remnants of the eye, which passed through Ohio, north of Arkansas, mm-hmm. and up through Ohio, and then up through probably about New York State. So I was on the very northern edge. So instead of being nice and sunny, which was predicted, it was rainy, a lot mm-hmm. of rain. But people in Ohio, of course, had high straight-line winds, probably some tornado activity, and a lot of rain, so people in central Ohio were without power for some of them days before they got it mm-hmm. repaired, and that was the residual, which was after it hit Galveston and Houston area.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah.
Here in northwest Arkansas, we got pounded pretty good, but it was mostly rain and winds. I don't know. I mean, I didn't actually get an accurate reading, but just my guesstimation, probably 50 to 60 miles per hour, somewhere around there here. Caused some damage, a lot of flooding, but we're in the mountains, so it just kind of ran off. But other parts of Arkansas obviously didn't fare so well. But you're right. You know, they were talking about hurricane-force winds as well in Pennsylvania and in New York State. I mean, it's really it's astounding to see stuff like this happen. But is it unprecedented, or is this just sort of the tip of the iceberg?
Well, the strange thing about Ike, and I had been posting actually since Hurricane Fay started back in August, right away I said these look like manipulated storms. They were acting very strangely. Just to track Ike's path, it came out of the mid-Atlantic, started to swing north-northwest, almost up to Bermuda. It kind of grazed the Bahamas, and then made a hard left turn and came down to Dominican Republic, and that's what's was so strange about all of these storms with Fay, Gustav, Hannah, and now Ike, was that the National Weather Prediction Center predicted these very bizarre paths, and the hurricane just kind of followed them, like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to go. And Ike came down a very unnatural path over the west end of Dominican Republic and Haiti, and went right down the middle of Cuba. Now, all four storms hit Cuba, which is unprecedented. Probably the statistically very unlikely. And then Ike, the last of the four hurricanes, swung left again after it ran the full length of Cuba. drop down and hit that western end of Cuba that kind of drops down and is lower into the southwest there, ran right over that, and then they drew a line up to New Orleans. And people were going, this is a little bit too odd and coincidental. And I think at that point they realized that even the common folk out there were realizing that these are manipulated storms. But then it swung down and headed over towards where it actually hit in the Galveston area. And I noticed, too, in the predictions, they didn't use the usual fan shape and say, you know, 10% here and 90% here. They just drew a line, and that's where the hurricanes went.
That was strange.
Gustav, which hit New Orleans, they were saying, watch out, New Orleans, when it was still out north of Dominican Republic, out in the Caribbean. So it had to go south and west and then come up through over Cuba. And they just drew a straight line to New Orleans and said, it's hitting New Orleans. And this is so ridiculous that it's almost funny. But
yeah, that is
funny.
A great point, Jim. I guess most people kind of assume that it was just, us all sort of being gun-shy thinking about Katrina. But you're absolutely right. I mean, this was different, and I'd never picked up on that this time around.
Gustav hit New Orleans on exactly the three-year anniversary of Katrina. And New Orleans had recovered. It was very bad. There were areas like the Ninth Ward where it was just basically an encampment. No roads, nothing. People were just living there in tents or whatever they could find. No law and order at all. And, of course, the point of Katrina was to clear out New Orleans. And it did not do the job.
Wow. It's very frightening. You know, speaking of Faye, for example, I thought that was a little peculiar as well, as that had danced back and forth across Florida, four times, five times?
Right. And there again, the predicted path, if you would have taken the average normal predicted path, it would have swung up along the east coast of Florida, turned north, and then probably gone out into the Atlantic. But it swings down, hits Cuba, all four of them hit Cuba, and then comes off the west end of Cuba, and then they have it making a 90-degree, more than 90, probably 100-degree right turn to come up over the Keys, and then, like you say, dances up the eastern side, going inland and coming back out to sea and then going back inland, and then swings west, going up to Georgia. It was so, it was like, what is this? And what, like I say, what's really odd is that was the predicted path.
Yes.
And I said, well, what they did this time is they simply coordinated the predicted path with the planned path so it didn't look so unusual. And there were people going, gee, those guys are getting really good at predicting these paths. I said, yeah, that's easy to do if you know where it's going.
Yeah, well said. That's really the key point here, isn't it? Before we get to that specifically, the weather manipulations and various aspects, I also found it strange that with Ike, for example, it went up through. When it started to hit us, when we started to feel the effects of northwest Arkansas, it was still technically a hurricane. Now, this is over land as well. And then you look at something like Faye, which was a tropical storm, but it was a tropical storm that, like we said, crossed Florida four different times over the span of like 5 or 6 days. Now, that's unusual. And then when you look at Ike, for example, it appeared to almost strengthen as it went across land. Now, what does this mean, Jim, in the grand scheme of things?
Well, what was strange about Ike was that when it hit land, they stalled it out there. They were trying to build up more strength, I believe. That's what it looked like to me. And they did that also with Gustav. They let it sit offshore off of New Orleans for a long time trying to build it up, and they just couldn't do it because of the underwater conditions. They're shorting out the storm, so they just finally had to let it go inland. And it followed a normal course westerly and then north, and then it blew easterly at a normal rate. What was bizarre about Ike was they built up to Category 4 hurricane out in the Atlantic. They didn't want to miss with this one. And they wanted to get Cuba, and there was a very clear message to me that they wanted to destroy Cuba, which they did with Ike. It was the fourth of four hurricanes, totally crippling Cuba, and that, of course, is not on the radar at all, or in the news, I mean. But when Ike hit land, it went at about probably about 200 miles an hour northeast, which tells you that it should have never come west that far. Because as soon as they let go of it with the laser satellites, which control these, Ike literally took a day and a half to get to New York. That's how fast it was moving.
It was moving very fast.
What does that tell you? That the hurricane should have never gotten to Galveston with those weather conditions, but it did. And once they let it go, it took off. And as I said, probably it crossed from Texas to Michigan in about 26 hours. I timed it.
That's amazing.
And so it's ridiculous. And so how could this storm move west that far with the weather conditions that were taking the storm naturally to the east that fast? So everything about this has just smells of manipulation. And we have not seen this literally for 3 years. Rita was the last major manipulated storm 3 years ago.
Wow. Well, talking about Cuba specifically, it's interesting because in the first segment here of the program, Jim, we were discussing, you know, a lot of the foreign intrigue and what's going on. You've seen a lot of people talking about, you know, weather changes and things like that. This is government documentation. And they're talking about the need to secure natural resources, which, of course, brings up a lot of other things, including, of course, Iran and Russia's involvement in their actions as of late. One of the things that has been being discussed is Russia reestablishing a military outpost there in Cuba. And I wonder if maybe, along with what you're saying about the destruction of Cuba, if that maybe had something to do with it.
Well, there's no question in my mind. In fact, when these four storms started, Faye kicked up very rapidly, developed an eye off the east end of the Virgin Islands, and came. They didn't even announce it till it was already over Dominican Republic, probably almost 1,000 miles away. And I literally myself called the radio stations in both Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands when I saw it coming, and they said they had gotten no word at all from the National Weather Service. And I said, well, look on the radar. You will see it. It's coming right at you. And so, but no word from the National Weather Service. And then the next one came, and the next one came, and they were all bending down to hit Cuba. And I thought, you know, these are aimed at something. Something's going on here, but I couldn't put my finger on it at the time. Well, then the announcements came out that Russia was planning naval exercises around Cuba. And so that's the smoking gun right there. And they were also flying some of their long-range bombers into Venezuela. So that's the reason, obviously, to me, that why they were trying to take Cuba out. And Ike went up to a category, probably, what was it, three, or at least three, probably four, when it was out north by the Bahamas, and then comes down and hits Cuba and runs lengthwise up the center, remaining as a hurricane, the entire length of Cuba, then drops off down southwest and then runs over the west end of Cuba, which the other three hurricanes had missed. So,
wow.
Yeah, the intention was to destroy Cuba, and they did. But now, politically, understand something. That was very stupid. If you want to keep Cuba from becoming a Russian holdout, because now what is Russia going to do? They're going to move military aid along with humanitarian aid, the same thing we do when we go places, or not we, but our government, our friendly local government. And so they mix military aid with humanitarian aid. Now they've just assured that Cuba will become a Russian outpost.
I absolutely agree with that, Jim. I was thinking the same thing myself, especially when the United States said, hey, we want to offer assistance here to you guys in Cuba to help you rebuild, to help you recover, and Cuba refused. Well, they didn't refuse because they don't need it. They refused it because they would prefer to have it from a friendly country.
Right, right. And they know, too, the strings come attached if you take anything from the U.S. That's why after the Sumatra tsunami in India, India told the U.S. Navy to keep out. After the, earthquake and damage in China. China told the U.S. to keep out. When they weather bombed the little country of I'm trying to think, down in the peninsula north of Thailand there this past spring. Wow. Mm. I'm trying to think. On the same peninsula that comes out of Southeast Asia.
Okay.
They had the hurricane that moved in there and destroyed that place on the day of their election to remove the European banks from the banking system.
Ah.
What was the...
that wasn't Burma, was it?
Burma.
Okay.
Yeah. And they told the U.S. Navy to keep out. And remember, the Navy
yes.
was offshore. And they're, we'll come in with aid. And they said, keep out of here. And then there were all the stories yeah. about how the government was keeping aid from the people and whitewashing. And they said, no, we have aid. We've prepared for things like this. We're giving aid to the people as fast as we can. But there again, they told the U.S. military to keep out because following that comes the banking system and everything else that comes with the U.S. moving in.
Wow.
They don't leave.
they're exactly
unwelcome
right.
guests. Well, you can even see it in Iraq. Iraq is telling them to leave and they won't. So it's internationally well known that the U.S. will go someplace and then not leave. And of course, that leads into the European bankers taking over the monetary system.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you can see all the shakeups that are going on financially as well, indicating an urgent need for more action on this part, whether it's warfare, whether it's weather-related stuff, whether it's financial markets and natural resources as well. Which leads me, of course, to weather modification in general. Now, most of us would, I think, be fairly cognizant of things like HAARP and what it can possibly do. We'll start with your thoughts on which countries have the ability to do these things. Who is actually manipulating these weather conditions?
Well, there's no question that this is operated out of the United States. The military has had probably three laser satellites. These were started to launch around the year 2000. And the severe weather is driven by electrical currents from the ionosphere down to what we call the troposphere, the weather, the bottom couple hundred thousand feet of the atmosphere down close to Earth where the weather systems develop. And that's where the tornadoes, the cyclones, the hurricanes, the typhoons, that's where the weather systems are, but they're driven from up above. And so that's why it's very important to keep these ridiculous theories regarding weather. You will hear the Weather Channel, weather.com, repeating this, hurricanes are developed by warm water and this, there's a certain amount of salt in the water. Everything but the truth, because it's important, it's eminently important to keep the knowledge of how these storms form from the public, because it would become too obvious that they are being manipulated. Russia really does not have a satellite presence in space. China does not. The only one that really has the ability to do this is the United States. They're controlled out of the Space Command Center, which is in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. That's where Bush and Cheney were during Katrina. Why would you go to the military command center in Colorado Springs when a hurricane is coming into New Orleans? Why wouldn't you go to the National Weather Service and watch it? Well, Bush and Cheney were both out in the command center there. So there's no question who has the ability, only the United States. Who's doing it? Only the United States. And like the Burma incident was on the day when the elections were occurring over there to throw out the Western-supported government. The election went on in spite of the hurricane, and it passed like by 97% to vote in this, you know. And if we're for democracy, supposedly, isn't that democracy? But it wasn't our democracy.
That's right.
With our banking.
The key point.
Yeah. So at any rate, there's been a very tight control to keep all these countries under that banking system, and it all comes back to that.
Wow. Well, in terms of weather modification technologies, satellites, lasers, things like that, is it more than just simply hurricanes? I mean, what about all the massive earthquakes we've seen, such as the one in China and obviously in other places as well?
Well, there again, it's been Tesla, of course, talked about doing that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain conditions of any physical system, whether it's a drum or a guitar, it's called resonance. And if you add energy at exactly the right frequency, you get a system resonating. There's a great example out of the Bible, the walls of Jericho. There's a historical event where they marched around stamping at a certain resonance and the walls came tumbling down.
Wow.
So that's the same issue. You set up a resonance with the laser satellite and you can ignite an earthquake.
Jim, let me interrupt you here briefly. We have a quick commercial break to contend with. Folks, don't go anywhere. We have just a limited time here today with our special guest, Professor James McCanney. I want to encourage you to go to his website. It's jmccanneyscience.com. That's jmccanneyscience.com. An amazing resource that should be checked every single day. He updates it frequently, and it's just spectacular stuff. And support what he's doing, folks, because he adds so much legitimate science to all of these things that most of us would be labeled conspiracy theorists for simply even considering. This is real. This is fact. Stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio when we return. Welcome back, my friend. Glad you're here with us today. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen. It's Wednesday, September 17th, 2008, 11:33 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. The website for the show, franklyspeakingradio.com. The website for the network, themicroeffectlive.com. And our toll-free number, 888-747-1968. Our special guest today, amazing amounts of material. I mean, honestly, we could eat up all the time we've got just, lauding his incredible accomplishments. But you can, of course, read this up for yourself at www.jmccanneyscience.com. Please welcome back to the program, Professor James McCanney. Welcome back, sir. And again, thank you so much for your time.
Frank, thank you for the show and, the airtime. It's always great to get this information out to people. What I find is that through the news media, through the Weather Channel and other outlets, people are simply unaware of what's going on. And when a lot of times when people hear things like this for the first time, I mean, they can't believe it. They don't understand.
Yeah.
And that's why the news, the whitewash news, is so effective. They're very effective.
Mm-hmm.
And with things like weather or weather modification, a lot of people have never even heard about it, let alone understand the techniques. And understanding really how easy it is, and they think, a hurricane, how could you control that? It's this big storm. But there are all kinds of examples in nature where just a little bit of energy will trigger something. In fact, earthquakes are a great example. That you have all of this pent-up energy in the plates of the Earth, and a lot of times it's just a little excess energy from somewhere, maybe a lunar alignment or a solar flare hits Earth, and that will snap and let tremendous amounts of energy release. It wasn't the solar flare that directly caused the earthquake. Mm-hmm. It just triggered it. And
right.
That's the same thing with hurricanes. If you find the trigger mechanism, then you can create these, you can move them, you can do all of this, and simply by having a small amount of energy in the right place at the right time. That's the key to understanding how this happens.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, and you've made it made sense for even... idiot talk show hosts like myself, and I appreciate that immensely. How accurate are some of these weather modification techniques? Because it appears that they've had a lot of practice over the years. They've been doing it for a long time. And as you'd mentioned, some of the intensity levels didn't quite, make exactly what they wanted to happen.
Let's take an example like Hurricane Jean. It was out in the Atlantic.
Okay.
This was before all of the major hurricanes of a few years ago. They brought it up, pulled it to the right, pulled it down to the south, pulled it west, and then it eventually went in and hit the east coast of the U.S. And it's amazing how much, how accurate, they were just playing with this. They had played with storms off the west coast of the U.S., just practicing, and So the accuracy is very accurate, what they can do, how they can move the storms around to drive the storms up to a certain energy, but then nature can interfere. Like, for example, New Orleans has a natural buffer. Down the banks that are south of New Orleans out in the Gulf are very shallow, and they go way out, and they're very shallow. So it's very hard to get a major hurricane in there. Katrina really wasn't that big a hurricane when it hit, and it hit to the east of New Orleans, so the storm surge and the majority of the wind really didn't hit New Orleans. Most people don't realize that there was, sure, there was some wind damage, and you can always point and take pictures of houses with the roof blown off, things like that.
Yeah.
The real damage in New Orleans came a day and a half later when they blew the levees. That's where the damage came from. I saw pictures on the internet of downtown New Orleans, down in Bourbon Street and the main downtown streets, with the streetcars running and people walking around with it kind of misting. Then the levees blew. So New Orleans, Katrina did not do anything to New Orleans. That's a big misnomer. It was the levees blowing in seven strategic places afterwards, literally a day and a half later, that caused the problem. But New Orleans has a natural buffer. It's not as prevalent over in Galveston area where those hurricanes can come in full force. Florida is the same. Those hurricanes can come in full force and hit Florida. There are other places. Actually, the island of Hawaii is very protected. They say that Hawaii, the eastern islands of Hawaii, have never been hit by a hurricane. And the reason is there's a small island forming offshore south of the biggest island, Hawaii, and it's forming offshore about 100 miles. And that literally shorts out the big storms as they come into that area, and we've actually observed that. So even though you might try and get a storm up to, you know, Category 4 or 5, there are natural areas like south of New Orleans that just are not going to allow that. So we saw that with Gustav here. They let it sit offshore, and they were trying to drive that thing up to higher and higher energy, and it just wouldn't do it. And that's why, with Ike, they were getting that thing cranked up to Category 4 or 5 way out there. Because when it hit Cuba, they wanted that thing going full bore down the full length of Cuba, which it did. And then they would drag it off the west end of Cuba south, so it would hit the very western tip of Cuba, which, as I said, the other previous three hurricanes, Faye, Gustav, and Hanna, had missed. And so with Ike, they did not miss that end.
Wow. You know, it was interesting, too, because I had seen some things that I had not witnessed before. You know, in Cuba, like you said, it didn't really get a whole lot of attention in the media, but I was watching videos and talking about this on the air. You know, waves that were breaking over a five-story apartment complex. I mean, that was something to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the storm surge was huge. It was truly amazing how much power that storm had. And then it had the full Gulf to build up as it went over to hit Texas. The other interesting part about Ike was the previous three, Faye, Gustav, and Hanna, had no effect on oil prices. And I was kind of joking that you can imagine the calls to the White House, that we need a hurricane that's going to drive up oil prices. And that's exactly what Ike did, too. I actually called it the perfect storm. Because of all of the things that it accomplished. It took Cuba out completely. It was the fourth punch on Cuba. It then, they said, was going to New Orleans. It kept Homeland Security and FEMA were able to keep people from coming back into New Orleans for another week and a half because they just simply said that Ike would go there, even though it wouldn't. Then it went over to Galveston, and oil or gas prices went up over $5 a gallon overnight.
Close to 7, I believe, in some places.
Yeah. So, I mean, it had, I called Ike the perfect storm because it did so many wonderful things for the people that typically use hurricanes for their benefit.
Well said. Jim, in terms of resonance and in terms of, as you mentioned, Tesla-style technology, I wonder if there's some connectivity between these technologies, these, I guess, these models, these applications, to even extend it out into the universe in terms of your electric universe.
You mean as far as manipulating things out there?
Not necessarily manipulating, but just, you know, like there's a similar application between the way that the planets and the, you know, celestial events interact with each other, and maybe is that tied in any way, shape, or form to the same application to altering weather?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And,
okay.
And there again, just an example, we've seen examples where comets come in, interact with the sun. You get surface flaring off of the sun because a comet is an electrical discharge in space, in outer space. They're not dirty snowballs. And so then the sun interacts and sends out a flare, which then affects our weather. So they seem to be remotely or actually unrelated events, but you can actually coordinate weather on Earth that is caused by comets, sometimes small comets that are nowhere near Earth. The ancients are very clear that when the comets came through, the big ones, the kind that we have not seen in thousands of years, that they drastically affect the weather. And there again, that's why it's so important for science, standard science, to have these ridiculous theories like the dirty snowball comet model and have that fed to the public, because the issue of one of the biggest issues for people who control the world is control. And if people learned that there were things out there or things that might come in that could affect us, and why would you make your house payment? Why would you pay your insurance payment?
That's true.
Why would you do anything? Why would you depend on this government, which is totally incapable of handling any situation like that? So it's very important for people who control to keep knowledge like this away from people, because if it became known on a wide scale, people would go, you know, you don't have control over there, buddy. You are not.
You're exactly
in control.
Right.
Yeah, you are nothing. Yeah. And this is, you know, so people would live their lives differently. They wouldn't buy into the economic system that is enslaving the entire world. So, yeah, it's very important, number one, first you have to understand how these things work out there, but then you have to understand why it's very important to present these ridiculous ideas about weather, how they form, how hurricanes form from warm water, or that comets are dirty snowball, and this, all of the other ridiculous theories that go along with this. I call that tier two science, and you know, that's what you'll see in the textbooks. That's what you'll see in the newspaper if science is quoted. And there's a whole entourage of scientists who promote this in NASA and JPL and the other in the universities. But it's very important to fund those people, to give them funding so they can continue, because it's so important for control. And that's what I always talk about. Who controls science and who controls scientists? Usually the easiest way to control a scientist is to give him money. And if he talks about the wrong things, then you take away his money. It's very simple.
It is simple, and we've seen so many examples of that over the years as well. And all I can say, my friend, is thank God for you. I know our time is running out here, but if you want to, please give out the contact information, the website, anything that you want people to be aware of, because I think that your website, your information, and you yourself, sir, are such an incredible you know, truth source for all of us out there. And people can really get a handle on all this stuff simply.
Spell all that out, and they end up someplace else that they probably don't want to be. So the abbreviated form is JMCC, S as in Sam, so that's just seven letters, JMCCSCI.com, and that'll get you to the same website.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Jim, it's been a real honor, my friend, as always, and I hope we can do this again really soon.
Well, Yeah, we will. And as I talk to you off air, Frank, in the upcoming weeks and months, I'm going to try and free myself up a bit more and become a bit more available so that we can do this more often.
Well, I look forward to that, my friend. But, you know, any and all time we can get with you is always a real privilege. And, again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank, and have a good day.
All right. You too. This is Professor James McCanny, my friends, truly amazing, amazing individual. You know, this is what the truth is all about. We have so many people out there who are willing to take their valuable time and contribute and get this information out there, not for their benefit, for yours, for the benefit of all of us. And if we don't live, I think, with a certain accountability in our lives, a certain mindset, that drives us on, that drives us to do better, to do more, to do whatever it is that we can, then we're already lost. So I would encourage you all to go to Jim's website, support his hard work. It's www.jmccsci.com, okay? It's truly an amazing, amazing website. Looking at all these things and all the talk that's been going on, it does make you wonder about quite a bit of this stuff as far as weather modification and things like that. And I've mentioned this before. You know, I had written an article, and it was, you know, so many people that I had learned so much from, and this is just a bare-bone stuff. This is for somebody who basically doesn't believe that weather modification is even possible. Just a simple little article, mostly links to various things, and no real contribution on my part other than to point things out, but I think it's noteworthy because it does hopefully allow people to educate themselves, which I think is the only way it really sinks in. And it's posted there in a blog on my MySpace page, which you can get to through franklyspeakingradio.com, by the way. And it's basically weather modification, you know, fact or fiction, something like that. I don't remember what I called it. But if you go through there, you can see all of the weather modification programs that have been in place for a while. So clearly they were working on this for decades and decades and decades. And they noticed some pretty spectacular responses from various things, indicating that, again, when you've got a government project that works, even a little bit, it's not going away. So that's pretty clear. And then the HARP website itself, you know, looking at HARP in general, you can see a lot of very interesting things there on HARP, on their website. For example, there's a frequently asked questions section. And again, it's all in that article. I read it if you get a chance. It's interesting. But in the frequently asked questions section of HARP, one of the questions is, will HARP be used to control the weather? Or no, it says, can HARP control the weather, or can HARP affect the weather? And the answer was, HARP will not be used to control the weather. And I thought, how interesting that they said it will not be used. They did not say the perhaps more expected answer, which is HARP cannot be used, indicating that it can. But they won't. So it's noteworthy to point these things out. And as we said, the predictive nature of so many things, such as comets, as Jim had said, you know, these things come around in a fairly predictable fashion. Studying the ancient documents, the ancient writings, you can see a pattern emerge, and it's fairly accurate. So we can get a pretty good handle on when things are supposed to come around, which begs the question, as far as the Pentagon Abrupt Climate Change Report, the non-censored version that we have available to us, you know, the non-classified version, this thing indicates a lot of different areas that are going to be affected in the future. And it talks about a lot of different years and dates and when things start to pick up and when they do not. So looking at that, which came out, I believe, in early 2003, I want to say. No, early 2004. It talked about 2005, 2007, 2009, you know, all of these years and when people could start to notice some things. And it's very possible.